Our talk today is Freedom From, Freedom To. And I want to open with a piece from the first paragraph from our Soul Matters material for this month, and the theme is, what does it mean to be a people of creativity? Creativity is our ability to dream things up and make them happen. Peggy Taylor. We're all familiar with that part in the quote about dreaming. Conjuring up new ideas and images is what creativity is all about. Using the building blocks of what is, we almost magically make the not yet appear in our minds. But what about that other part? The part about making them happen. When we talk about creativity, that half of the equation often gets short shrift. We celebrate the fun piece about dreaming and leave off the hard piece of making our imaginings real. And it's not just the hard part, this is the point, it's the scary part too. You have to be brave to try new things and fail. Being creative and unique can cause the crowd to cheer and swoon. It can also lead to being laughed at and excluded from the group. Yes, there is joy, beauty, and play in creativity, but there is also insecurity, loneliness, and self-doubt, which means that this month is not just about imagination, artistry, and self-expression, but also courage. The courage for freedom, too. Another piece is that when I first started in Buddhist meditation years ago and was reading a lot of the material on Zen Buddhism, when Buddhism came across to the West, one of the problems was that the Western practitioners didn't like the strictness of the structure. Zen is very structured. You sit in a certain way for a certain time, and you have to do that. This was structure to give you the freedom to accomplish what you hoped to accomplish, rather than just being in the argument about what you should or shouldn't do all the time. It was the structure for something to happen. And that stuck with me over and over through the years. As we look at this governance workshop on June 2nd, it's a day filled with other events. There's the Flat Rock Day, there's the Heart of Hendersonville picnic, but I'm urging you to please give the structure to be here. It's freedom from the way that worked then but won't work so well now. It's to create a good, new, open, intentional structure to give us freedom to respond to the future. And lastly, in this introduction, I want to talk a little bit about the Reverend Peter Friedrichs. He's the person who, in a workshop last year, came up to me and gave me the idea to use someone else's sermon sometimes. He gave me the permission to do that. I'd never done it in my whole career. I'd never, ever done it. I'd had them ready for somebody else to do, but I'd never done it. And today I'm going to share Peter's sermon, Freedom From, Freedom To. Because when I read it in researching what I was going to do, I couldn't have said it better. The other thing is that Peter's background, and you'll hear in this talk, is different than mine, but it's similar to a lot of yours. Peter was Catholic, and so he came to Unitarian Universalism from a very restrictive feeling of church and a congregation or an organization that was not responsive to him. And so there was this getting away from this. That was never my experience. I was always looking just for something more to give structure and larger meaning, and that's why I focus on an orientation within which we all hold very similar beliefs in our structure. So it's his voice that speaks to a lot of your experience. And the other thing is, Gordon McKeeman was a lifelong Universalist minister. And he was the one who held up this idea all the time. He said, freedom from has to be freedom for. And as I look towards retirement, I realize that's a structure and a message that I need. It's also a message like we hear in each new day. We awake with the freedom of a new day. What is that freedom for? So these are the words from Peter Friedrichs. He's the lead minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Delaware County in Media, Pennsylvania. He says that every spring at Stonewall Farm in Keene, New Hampshire, and at other dairy farms throughout northern New England, there's a festival to celebrate the season. It's not an Easter celebration or a solstice celebration. It's not Mother's Day or May Day. It has different names at different farms, but at Stonewall Farm, it's called the Dancing of the Ladies. Sounds like some kind of pagan rite, doesn't it? When I first heard it, I pictured middle-aged women prancing around with flowers in their hair. Now, remember, that's Peter saying that. But that's not what the Dancing of the Ladies is. Instead, it's the ceremonial release of the milking herd from the barn to the field for the first time in spring. What makes this event so popular that crowds will stand 8 or 10 deep to witness it is the reaction of the cows to being set loose in the fields. When the cows are freed from the confines of their barns, they act like excited little children. These animals can weigh close to a ton, and they dance and prance and cavort all around the fields. Not only are they let loose, but they let loose themselves, literally kicking up their heels with pure, simple, unadulterated, I'm tempted to say unpasteurized, unadulterated joy. You can almost see it on their bovine faces. The closest experience that I can relate this to, was back in grade school at the end of the school year. You got that right. The last minute of the last hour of the last day, when the bell rings and suddenly you'd be set free and you'd run out of the classroom screaming and singing. Do you remember that feeling? Yes, you do. I don't know whether the cows feel that way, but that's the way they act when they get out into the fresh air and sunshine for the first time in spring. Peter says, I felt something like that same feeling when I discovered Unitarian Universalism. That same sense of freedom, of being released from bondage, of being able to breathe again. Perhaps you also experienced that feeling when you first discovered a religious community that doesn't tell you what you have to believe to belong. Having been raised in the Catholic Church myself, I remember it distinctly, he says. I had left the Catholics as a teenager and entered the ranks of the unchurched, or maybe now I'd be called one of the nuns. N-O-N-E-S. This is Peter. That was until my wife and I moved to Maine and had our two children, and she sent me out to find a church where I'd be happy. The main street of our town was lined with churches of every stripe and color, with the Catholics located at one end of the street. I decided to start my search geographically as far from that church as I could. And it just so happened that at the other end of the street were the Unitarian Universalists. I had never heard of them and had no idea what to expect, but I tried it out, and I was amazed by what I found that Sunday. So I went back the following Sunday and then the next, and I felt like those cows set loose into the field in the sunshine. Free, free to doubt, free to find my own path, free to explore, free to question long-held beliefs from my childhood, free to be myself with others like me. That was more than 25 years ago, And I still remember those feelings of freedom as strongly as I remember the feeling of the last day of school and the start of summer. It is one of the great graces of our faith tradition, this freedom we're given and that we claim. It lies at the very core of who we are as Unitarian Universalists, because our liberal religious forebears fought and sometimes died for it. We are free from the constraints of orthodoxy and the commandments of the Catholic Church. We are free from the stain of original sin. We are free from the power of the priesthood to mediate our relationship with the holy. We are free from the control of a central authority in Rome or even Boston. Our scripture isn't limited to one holy book. Religiously speaking, the entire world is our oyster, or perhaps more accurately, it's a rich and enticing smorgasbord. We have been granted the freedom to learn from Sufism, to investigate Taoism, to immerse ourselves in Emerson and the tasty transcendentalists. And it feels great. Am I right? This freedom is one of the reasons, maybe the primary reason, we love our faith as we do. It's why the boldest among us even tell our friends and neighbors about it. And maybe, just maybe, invite them to come to church with us. We are unique among religious enterprises and experiments because of this freedom and the independence it invites. For those of us who have come from other faiths, the freedom from all that has bound us in our religious path, in our religious past, draws us toward Unitarian Universalism. For those of us who have been marginalized or oppressed by religion in our personal pasts, the freedom from fear and judgment draws us toward Unitarian Universalism. Ours is a faith in which we are allowed to be our true and authentic selves. And if we don't know exactly who or what that is, this faith gives us the freedom to explore and discover and claim it. Our faith is nothing if not the sum total of all the freedom froms, such as freedom from authority, freedom from fear, freedom from orthodoxy. But there is a shadow side to all these freedom froms, which can show up in unhealthy ways in our congregations and in ourselves. Just because we are free from authority doesn't mean that we can do whatever we want. We have shared values and understandings about the world and our place in it, and there are limits that, if exceeded, would place you outside the admittedly wide bounds of our faith. I say there are things that raise yellow flags, if not red flags. If they are not expanding your circle of compassion, it's probably a yellow flag that you should pay attention to. The fierce independence that our faith promotes can easily become corrupted into a narcissistic individualism and damaging, that is both personally destructive and damaging to our communities. The Reverend Dr. Fred Muir, Minister Emeritus of our church in Annapolis, Maryland, called this the rise of the I Church, where each individual believes and acts as though the institution is there to meet their own personal needs. The danger, I think, stems from our getting stuck at freedom from and not living into the freedom to of our faith. It's when we come to treat our freedom as a birthright rather than as a precious gift. The freedom from mentality keeps us stuck in antagonism. It pits us against them. Whether they are the faith of our family of origin, those who refuse to accept us as we are, or any other part of our past that we have rejected or want to hold at bay. Freedom from keeps us in a state of moving away instead of moving toward. Freedom from keeps us in a state of moving away instead of moving toward, of disengaging rather than engaging, of standing against instead of standing with. It is the freedom from approach to church that enables toxic people to hold entire congregations hostage and that keeps us from achieving the excellence we're capable of for fear of offending someone. Freedom from is a kind of lowest common denominator thinking where we value keeping things calm and conflict free more than risking depth and living into the power of our true potential. Our faith is about gaining freedom from certain things, yes, but we can't stop there. We must move beyond it to a freedom to attitude. Freedom to is about exploring rich possibilities in our lives and in our congregations. It calls us to ask and explore tough missional questions like, why do we exist? And what are we called to be and to do in the world? When we look at freedom not as the be-all and end-all, I'm free, I'm jumping around in the pasture, but rather as the jumping-off point, the place where we begin instead of the place where we end, we realize that our freedom is a rich resource from which we can draw strength and gather commitment. Freedom, too, leads us to ask questions. Freedom to be who? Freedom to do what? It calls us not to spin around in our own little orbits as individual actors. Rather, it calls us to seek to grow into relationship with each other, both within our congregations and with the community around us. Freedom from keeps us looking back on our past. Freedom to is forward-looking, pulling us toward the future. Freedom from is about rejection, while freedom to is about creation. I want us, each and every one of us, to celebrate the simple joy of our freedom, just like cows that dance in the spring fields. But we can't stop there. We can't be satisfied with the freedoms that we've won and that have been won on our behalf. We have been handed, all of us, each of us, a precious and powerful gift. We must ask ourselves toward what ends we can use it and then take steps to put it in motion so that future generations may one day celebrate their own liberation, dancing in the joy of that freedom. Peter Friedrichs, thank you.